turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 21 through 26, Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 26, and when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. We stand in honor of God's Word, and I'm reading out of the LSB version. And so thus declares the word of the living God. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know what I will choose, but I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And I'm convinced of this, and I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your reason for boasting may abound in Christ Jesus in me through my coming to you again. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We thank you, Lord, that you are a holy God, that you are high, that you are set apart. And God, we are just enamored of the reality that you desire to have fellowship with your creation. And so we sit before you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you would reveal and impart your truth. We acknowledge, Lord, that we can know nothing except you reveal it to us. And so I ask that you would so open our hearts and our minds, and by the Spirit of the living God, you would illuminate that truth, you would seal it to our hearts, and Lord, you would use it to transform us more into the likeness and image of your Son. It is our desire, Lord, to know more of you. And so I pray, God, bless this time and bless the reading of your word, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And so what we do know about this epistle is, we have already shared this epistle that Paul wrote to this church. This is a letter that is an encouragement to that church and also an encouragement to us. We've already shared that Paul was not communicating or sharing with this church a matter of doctrinal falsehoods, but it was purely a letter of encouragement. And so when we look at where we are and the text that we're looking at today, you know, it's been said that a person is not ready to live unless they're first ready to die. And so when I was asking that man yesterday and encouraging him, see, he had no faith in Christ. He just wanted things to stop. But us as believers in Christ and knowing where our eternal destination is, that should give us cause to want to rejoice. Like Paul, he was a man who was ready to be with his Creator. He was ready to go home and to be with the Lord. And so when we place our faith and trust in Christ, what that means to us is that we can face death armed with the knowledge that Christ on the cross, on that third day when he rose again, not only did he bring victory over sin, but he also brought victory over death. And so us being baptized in his death, we also baptized in his resurrection. And so the hope of every believer is that we will see him. And so Paul is sharing this with this church. And so what does that mean for us? That means that we should live every day for Christ, because we know that our lives are not our own. And so this is what Paul is communicating to this church and to us. If we back up and we go back to the previous verses that Paul shared right before that, he was looking at his circumstance as he was in prison. He's chained to these guards, and Paul is rejoicing in that. Why was he rejoicing? Well, we shared the reason why he was rejoicing was he wasn't concerned with his circumstance, but why he was rejoicing was because the gospel was being preached. And so he knew and understand that was for that which God had called him to share the hope of the gospel. And even if it wasn't happening with big, broad audiences, we shared he was being chained to these Praetorian guards who, as we could see today, these were the secret service of the day. Their call, their charge was to protect the emperor. These were the elite young men in the emperor's military structure. And Paul was sharing with them Christ, and they were being saved. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, God has given us this message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we in that place where we are willing to abdicate our desire to live, because we know that it would be far better for us to die, but in knowing that God has called us to bear witness of him in this lost and broken world, are we willing to do what God has called us to do? And this is what Paul is sharing with us today. We can look at Paul. He was willing to live, but wanting to die. And so we can see, and we will talk about Paul as he is wrestling with this truth. And knowing, even in the text that we read this morning in 2 Corinthians, are we willing to give our lives over for the sake of the gospel and live a life for Christ? And so we will look at today a couple of things in this text that God is sharing with us through the Apostle Paul, so that we can be encouraged in our walk with him and knowing what he has called us to. And if there's something contrary to that, knowing that I need to repent, God, forgive me and help me to do what it is that you have called me to do, because my life is not my own. It belongs to you. And so first, let's look at Paul's commitment or his dedication to the call of God that rests upon his life. And so in verse 21 begins with Paul making some statements. And these statements aren't found anywhere else, but it lets us know what it is to be an authentic Christian. He says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Just think about that for a second. So first he says, for me. And so what Paul is saying and what he's communicating to us in that is that regardless of how anyone else lives, for me, it doesn't matter how my friends are living. It doesn't matter how my wife is living. It doesn't matter how my coworkers are living. It doesn't matter how anyone else is living. For me. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't even matter what my emotions tell me. He's saying, for me to live. And it's important for us to know and see in that Your Bible says, for me to live is Christ. What you need to know in the original text is that verb is not in the original text. The original text reads like this: for to me to live, Christ. And so what Paul is communicating is that the summation of his life, everything about his life, is Christ. He's in prison. The potential of him being put to death is before him. But he's telling us that in light of and in spite of his worldly circumstance, there's one passion, there's one desire, there's one thing that is captivating his heart and his mind: Christ. So he can look beyond what's happening to him, because where his thinking goes is not what's happening to me, but his thinking goes to Christ. It's the reason why I'm living. It's the reason why I do everything. Christ. For Paul, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. He is the very essence of his being from Paul's perspective. Paul finds Christ to be his reason for living. And so we need to ask ourselves that question. Do I find myself in a place? Is that my testimony? Is that how I'm living my life? Is it more than just trusting God for my salvation? Believing in Christ to save me? But if my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole soul is wrapped up in Christ, then the sanctifying work of the Word of God becomes tangible, because anything that's contrary to him will be illuminated, because the Spirit of God will bring conviction. It's Christ and Christ alone. And we can see that, and we can see how Paul expresses that. And when we get to Philippians chapter 3, we see verse 7, he highlights this, right? Because he says, but whatever things were gained to me, circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, all of these things which he could point to, all of these things that might be considered to be gain, Paul says, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. So anything that might bolster my position in my own thinking apart from Christ, Paul eradicates it from his thinking. He's letting us and them know it is of no value apart from Jesus Christ. My religious heritage, he says, my religious tradition, my ancestry, my education, my upbringing, anything and everything, if I'm looking to find value in it, it has no value other than Christ. And so in verse 8, he says, more than that, I count all things to be loss. Why? For the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's not putting his trust in what he can do. He's putting his trust in what has been done for him through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is the cross. Remember, Paul told the church at Corinth, I preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ has got to be the one who dominates our life, who dominates our thinking, who dominates our action. And so he's telling us, for me to live is Christ, or to live Christ. And so Paul was a Christ man. Christ was everything to him. And saints, that is what it means to be a Christian. What does Christian mean? Little Christ. Of course, when we read through the book of Acts, we know that originally that term Christian, it was a term of mockery, of degradation. But the early church founders, they loved that because they recall being called little Christ, which should be the reflection of our lives. We got to ask ourselves the question, when people see us, do they see Jesus? And so they embraced it. And they wore that title. That's why today we call ourselves Christians. And so Paul, in this declaration that he makes, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So to die, gain. Again, when you look at that portion of that scripture, the verb is not in the original text. So the original text reads like this: for to me to live, Christ, to die, gain. And so what is he communicating? What is he saying? He's sharing with us that for him, he understands that for him to die means that he would be ushered into the presence of the Lord. William Hendrickson, he said it this way: death is gain because it brings more of Christ to Paul and more of Paul to Christ. And so his actual death in Paul's eyes would not be a tragedy. But for Paul, he understands that then he would graduate from a life that can't see the revelation of the glory of God, to be in that place where now he's in the presence of our glorified Savior. He would be with the person, capital P, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, saints, our lives need to be dedicated this way, with the understanding, listen, I know I stand here before you. Do I want to die? Yeah, I don't want to die right now. But I do understand that when I do die, I will be with Christ. And so that truth was so real to Paul that he was ready. He was ready to go because he knew the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ. And that as he shared to the church at Corinth, which we read this morning, that for the believer to leave this world is to be in the presence of the Lord. And so when we do pass on to glory, I can guarantee you that there's no one who gets in the presence of a risen Savior that is saying, I wish I was back on earth. Hallelujah. And so we need to take the opportunity that God has granted us, though, to live for Christ. That what God has called us to and purposed in our lives, that we would be dedicated and committed to that. Secondly, in this text, we see there's a wrestling that's going on with Paul in verses 22 through 24. It's almost like Paul is between a rock and a hard place. He says in verse 22, but if I am to live on in the flesh. So here he is. He's pondering. He's considering. It's after everything that happens, once I go before the emperor, once all of this is put to rest, and if God spares my life and I continue to walk with Christ on this side of eternity. He knows that there's a work that he has to do. And so he gives us the idea, he gives them the idea that this will be fruitful labor for him. And what is that fruitful labor? He's talking with the pastor's heart, saying, I will be able to minister to you. And so in that struggle, in that trial, as he's wrestling with his heart, and I know that wrestling, but he understands that if he lives, he can continue to preach the gospel. He can continue to plant churches. He can continue to raise up Timothys, and that more people will be saved through his ministry. And so what greater fruit can a man have than to be used by God so that other people can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? And so Paul is wrestling with this. And he's like, man, I really don't know which to choose. But he also understands the reality of the sovereign purpose of God that rests over his life. So he understands that when he stands before the emperor, ultimately it's not the emperor who has control, right? Because we read in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord and he moves it as he wills. And so he says, I don't know which to choose, but he can rest in the reality that God knows. And so he communicates this in verse 23, saying that I'm hard pressed between the two. And when we look at the construction of that, and when you look at what he was communicating and what he's sharing, it's the idea is as if he's on this narrow road and there's rock wall on either side of him, and as he's walking, the road gets narrower and narrower. On one side, he's got life pressing in. On the other side, he's got death and Christ pushing in. And so he feels the pressure of that in his own mind. And of course, he's already communicated, I would love to go on to be with the Lord, but I also see that I need to be here for you. And he's just being transparent. He's telling this church what he's going through. And that's so critically important. It's critically important for men like Paul, for men whom God has placed in a position of leadership, to be authentic and transparent so that those whom they lead can understand that the only differentiation that we have is that God has called me to a place and utilizing giftings, but there's the same struggles. So I need you to pray for me. Paul is communicating that to them. And I would share the same for myself. Russ, I know when God has called you to that place, because it's not about us, it's about Christ. And so he says, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. So he's letting us know, he's letting them know, hey, listen, man, my desire is I want to go and be with Jesus. And if I am, it is very much better. How do you like that one, honey? I ask because my wife teaches English. But in that communication, that there's something that Paul is sharing, that desire, that deep affection that he has to want to be with the Lord. He's ready to depart. He's ready to die. And when we look at the Greek in that word depart, It means to loosen. And the idea that it conveys is of a ship being tied to a dock by a rope. And that when, if any of you boat, you know, you tie your boat to the dock, and when you're ready to go, you untie the rope, and that loosens your boat to be able to go out. Well, that's the idea that Paul is conveying here. He's ready to go. His ship is ready to sail to go be with Jesus. He's ready to release the rope. He's ready to move out and be with Christ. That communion, that association, that fellowship, being with Christ. And he says, for that is very much better. And so he's using these three words. It is to express something to the superlative degree. Because of course we know that in the Greek language, they didn't have exclamation points. They didn't have bold print. They didn't have underlines. And so he's using this language. It's almost like when you go on a website and you look at a product, and they may have a couple of different products that represent what is designed to fulfill your need, and it says this one is good, this one is better, and this one is best. This is what Paul is communicating here. Very much better. That there's nothing higher that he could desire than to be with Christ. It's almost as if Paul is becoming homesick to go to heaven. Because we all remember when we read through 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, as Paul shares about his time that he was taken up to the third heaven. And so here he is sharing that truth. But he goes on to say, yet to remain on in the flesh. And what? It is more necessary for your sake. So here's the rub. This is what he's struggling with. This is the tension that's going on within him. He wants to be home with Christ. But he knows that if he continues to live on in the flesh, it's beneficial for the sake of the growing of the church. And so, even puts this point that it is necessary that he stays. And so being pressed on both sides, having this dilemma within him. And I'm sure that we've all been to a point and a place in our lives where, man, we've had to make some choices. I tell my guys, don't make good decisions, make God decisions. Because sometimes a good decision is not a God decision. And so whatever it's right now, maybe there's something that has you bouncing back and forth. My encouragement to you would always be make the God decision. And so we see with Paul, what is more necessary wins out over very much better. He was willing to, and we know with Paul's testimony that he stayed to minister to the body. And so this decision that he makes, finally we come to verses 25 and 26. Again, verse 21, we see the dedication and commitment of Paul in verses 25 and 26. We see this great dilemma that Paul has. And finally, we see in verses 25 through 26, the decision that he makes. Even with his preference being death, how sold out must have Paul been to Christ to actually prefer death? Just think about that for a second. Because again, today, I want to live. But in spite of that, he's willing to postpone his death in order to serve the needs of the church. And so when we look at it, it's Paul. It's an act of self-denial. It's an act of self-humiliation. What he's doing is he's putting the needs of others before his own needs. And so in verse 25, he says, convinced of this. And so what that means is that Paul is persuaded in his thinking. He's convinced that he is doing what God has called him to do, that it's more necessary for him to serve the body of Christ than to serve his own self-interests. And so he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. And I want to qualify, when he says he knows, he's not talking about some kind of special revelation. But what he is talking about is he has sat down and he's gone through this within himself, and he's sought the counsel of the Spirit of the living God, and he's looked at the circumstance and the situation, and he's come to this conclusion that it's more important for him to stay and to minister to the church than for him to go and be ministered to by the Lord. It's interesting, and that brings me to a thought that the founder of our ministry, Brother Don Wilkerson, he was preaching on the church, and he was sharing how many people come to church to be served instead of to serve. We need to change that. Remember, Christ told the disciples, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for the many. And so why does Paul say all of that? Why does he give us that understanding? Well, at the end of verse 25, he lets us know. He says it's for your progress and joy in the faith. So he's convinced. He knows he will remain. He will continue with them, not for any reason, for anything for himself, but he will continue with them for their progress and joy in the faith. Again, he's revealing a pastor's heart. He wants to see them to grow in the faith in Christ. This is a minister's heart. This is a shepherd's heart. The desire to want to see the people who God has charged him to oversee to grow in Christ for your progress. He wants to see the sanctifying work of Christ evident in their lives, to grow in him, to grow in grace, to grow in mercy, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his heart. Brothers and sisters, I know that is my heart for you. And how many of us know some of you have been serving the Lord for many years, but still know there's still progress that needs to be made in your relationship with Christ. There are still truths that need to be known. There's still deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As Paul told the church at Rome, that the treasures of God are unsearchable. And so we need to forever be making progress. And saints, I firmly believe even when we go home to glory, although we will know a deeper revelation, there will still be facets of an incomprehensible God that we will learn, that we will see. And so Paul is sharing that with them and with us, in the reality that as we progress in him, then our joy will progress because joy is from the Lord. Paul tells us in chapter 3, verse 1, that we ought to rejoice in the Lord. And again in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. All joy is found in Him. He is our satisfaction. And so, saints, when we are content in Him, we experience the joy that He has left for us. The more we progress, the more we know Him, the more fellowship we have, the more closely we grow to Him. And as we do that, we become more like Him. That's how God uses the Word and the knowledge of Jesus Christ to bring change, effectual change, to the life of the believer. And so when He shares about being in the faith, that little prepositional phrase, in the faith, he's referring to the Christian faith, the truth, the Word of God. It's that faith that was once delivered to the saints. This is the apostolic teaching, the teaching in sound doctrine. Because one thing is sure, we can't grow, we can't progress without the consistent ministry of the Word of God in our lives. And so that's why, as a body, daily, we must eat of the Word of God. Remember, Jesus told us, Deuteronomy, and when He was tempted by the enemy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We know that that is one of His titles. When we read in the Gospel of John, He is the Word of God. And so the way that God and the medium that God has left us in order to get to know Him is the Word of God. We don't need less Bible teaching. We need more Bible teaching, because the more we are taught, the more we progress. And the more we progress, the more joy we will have in our lives. And so I'm going to finish with this. Saints, all of us need to be like Paul. And so I want to ask this personal question this morning. Are you ready to die? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If the Lord were to take you home today, would you immediately be in the presence of the Lord? And is that the way that we're living our lives? Saints, when we know the outcome, when we know the end, that when I die, that I will be released, that I will go home, I will depart and be with Christ, then today, while we're alive, we need to live for Him. We need to be a people that are consumed with advancing the kingdom of God by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be a people who are ready to die, because when we are ready to die, then we're ready to live. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. Now, some consider that that was George Whitefield. Whitefield was saved first. Whitefield preached first. Whitefield was used by God much more. But John Wesley was asked this question: what makes this movement so great? He said, our people die well. It's the mark of a great movement and a great church when the people in the church die very well in Christ. And so, saints, let's be those people who die well, because we know that our lives are for Christ. Father, we thank you. Lord, and I would ask and pray, consume us with Jesus Christ. Lord, and I ask that if there's anything that hinders us from that pursuit, that we would mortify the deeds of our flesh, that we would put off the old man and we would put on Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you have granted us to know him. And so I pray that we would grow in the knowledge of him through the preaching and the teaching of your word. God, that we would have the testimony of the great apostle, for to me to live, Christ, to die, gain. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.